I mean, I wasn't a good mud rider. I mean, growing up here in Southern California, when it rained, we didn't race because we couldn't get into the park. I grew up riding trials. That was when my dad raced before. So my whole mini bike stuff, I did trials events. So I was good with standing on the pegs and riding with my feet up. And
earlier this year, for over 2 hours, I sat at Jeff Ward's dining room table and listened as he told stories of an era more than 3 decades behind him. His time as a member of Team USA with the trophy and motocross of nations between 1983 and 1990.
It was a pressure situation, because of that mainly. Because I think, we knew we were the dominant team, but it's just when the situation, and the problem is with the Europeans, they're so good at riding in the mud, it just gave it all. There was guys up there that normally wouldn't be up there that you had to fight against that.
They were mostly stories of winning, but also the suffering, soldiering, and salvaging he went through to get those wins. As he autographed the artwork designed in his honor, available now at shop.wewentfast.com, the normally quiet Ward spared no details. The passes, the crashes, bad starts, border crossings, travel nightmares, sabotage, and peeing in a bag for Ron Lachine. True story. This article, and the artwork, revolves around just one moto in Ward's Team USA era, Moto 1 at the 1987 Motocross of Nations at Unadilla.
The gate drops in the 41st annual Motocross to Nations. The World Team Championship of Motocross is underway on a muddy, slippery Unadilla track. And a pileup in the first corner. The mud already has taken its toll.
For photos and charts and other visuals, please find this article at wewentfast.com. And help us continue to tell these stories by supporting us at shop.wewentfast.com. The Jeff Ward artwork is another installment in the signature series. Only 77 autographed prints are available. There is also a standard version. 25% of the revenue from the sale of this artwork and our Team USA t-shirts will be donated to RaiseItForUSA.com, a nonprofit that helps Team USA cover the variety of expenses associated with representing our country at the Motocross of Nations. For more info, shop.wewentfast.com. And now, Jeff Ward is Captain America. Jeff Ward had a plan until he got punched in the face. A Dutch punch, to be precise. Less than 10 seconds into the opening moto of the 1987 Motocross of Nations, Ward couldn't see a thing. A softball-sized glob of mud peeled off Kees van der Ven's rear tire and blasted Ward so hard in the head that his goggles and the attached face guard were knocked out of place. The lens dropped to his mouth, and his eyes suffered another flurry of roost. These were the goggles he painstakingly prepared on his own the prior evening. They had a roll-off system and left and right tear-offs overlaid, specifically placed to peel away the dirt collected in the first turn chaos. His eye protection was completely obliterated. Ward slowed, flung a fistful of mud off his face, and attempted to straighten the goggles and mask. He desperately searched for the tear-off tabs. Within 1, maybe 2 seconds, he determined this was fruitless. He pulled the goggles down. They hung around his neck, completely useless. The shrapnel kept coming. His right eye, buried beneath the upstate New York muck, already stung. He squinted through his left eye while trying to control his KX500, navigate an almost unnavigable Unadilla MX course, and not lose any more positions to the other competitors, many of whom were much better mud riders than he was. Ironically, Ward had told a television reporter before the race,
"Well, in the rain, goggles are really important. Make sure nothing happens to that, so you keep those on at all times. And you gotta be a little more cautious because it is slippery. And being on a 500, I'd rather be on one than ride behind one. I know the roost is going to be really substantial."
Ward saw his greatest fear coming true, and he hadn't even reached the second corner. He was in jeopardy of being that guy, the member of Team USA that cost his entire country the win at the biggest race of the year. And for the first time in the race's 40-year history, it was in the United States. He would sacrifice his own eyesight before he disappointed the poncho-wearing American race fans who lined the fences in the relentless rain showers. Here's why Jeff Ward is Captain America. Among all of Jeff Ward's racing accolades, which earned him membership in both the AMA Motorcycle Hall of Fame, 1999, and the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America, 2006, his 9 appearances at the Trophy and Motocross of Nations as a member of Team USA rank high on the list of accomplishments for which he's most proud. When reviewing a rough draft of artwork in celebration of his Team USA tenure, he quickly pointed out missing event info at the bottom of the poster. The 1983 trophy designations in Zverepek, Czechoslovakia, now Slovakia, and the 1984 trophy race in Varberg, Sweden. Ward's motocross career includes a mostly forgotten era in international MX racing. Before 1985, the Motocross of Nations was strictly a 500cc event. Each country sent 4 riders who competed all at once in a 2-moto format. The trophy happened in a different country, either 1 week before or after the MXON. It had the same format, but riders competed on 250s. They were scored separate, yet together, they were known as the World Team Motocross Championships. The original intent of the double weekend races was to celebrate the conclusion of the world motocross racing season. Team USA first competed in the trophy event in 1970, when 3 American Husqvarna riders just happened to be in Europe at the right time. They raced 1 rider short of a full roster and finished 13th, last place. 1 year later, Team USA competed in its first Motocross of Nations. And for the rest of the 1970s, Team USA averaged 5th place, but finished as high as 2nd. In 1979 and 1980, America didn't send a team at all. Reasons aplenty. But in 1981, a trio of industry influencers reignited patriotic fervor over supporting Team USA, and they whipped up interest and awareness bake sale style. Motocross Action ran department blurbs literally asking its readers to send an $8 donation to the American Motorcyclist Association. In early September, the all-Honda team of Donnie Hansen, Chuck Sund, Danny Laporte, and Johnny O'Mara won the Trophy des Nations in Belgium and the Motocross of Nations 1 week later in West Germany. Winning just one of these events was a breakthrough. Winning both was a shock to the international motocross world. And they did it again in 1982, also with an all-Honda team. Only the Belgians had ever won both races in the same year, and never before had a country completed the double victory 3 years in a row. This was a lengthy way of explaining that the Trophy des Nations, although gone for 40 years, was not a warm-up race for the Motocross of Nations. For the riders on those teams, it was just as important of an event. In fact, during Ward's first 2 Team USA years, the trophy was the concluding event. That's why Ward gets the right to point out that his resume includes 9 appearances at the World Team Championships, and he's 9-0 as a member of Team USA. He has more appearances and wins than any rider in Team USA history. Jeff Ward is Captain America. Jeff Ward can't stop, won't stop. Back at Unadilla, with the mud-packed goggles swaying from his neck like a pendulum, Ward didn't even consider stopping for fresh vision. Today, he laughs and wonders out loud how long it really would have taken. 10 seconds? And it would have saved him a lot of pain. But the Dutch and Belgian teams had, by far, the best mud riding talent in the world, and the conditions suited them perfectly. It was as if they had imported the weather. It was barely mid-September, yet the temperature said mid-fall, and it rained so much and for so long that the European advantage was impossible to ignore. It started off bad, Ward said of his Moto 1 start. About six riders darted by Ward while he made desperate attempts to improve his vision situation. Once he resigned himself to the fate of riding with one eye open, the other eye sealed shut, he went to work. By the end of the third lap, he was in fourth overall. Passing was tough, he said. I couldn't just pull in behind and pass when I wanted. I had to try to blast by them to avoid the roost. Ward admits mud wasn't just a weakness for him. He didn't like it at all. The tracks where he grew up riding closed when it rained. He tapped into his youth trials experience. That was his dad's chosen discipline, and he knew if he relied on balance, stability, and momentum, he'd be fine. Jeff Ward has been here before. Unwearable goggles and impaired vision were hardly the biggest hardships Ward dealt with in 9 races as a Team USA member. While he never suffered a single DNF in these events, he raced motos he should have sat out, motos where he napped in the first turn, got gas or mud in his goggles, or soldiered through mechanical problems. He even once peed in a bag so his teammate had clean urine to submit for a drug test. He raced amidst flying apples and hurled beer bottles and waves of spectators that coordinated group movement to block a faster line when Americans approached, but then shuffled out of the way to open the racing line for a preferred rider. He witnessed schoolyard tricks and straight sabotage. In 1985, Team USA drove 90 minutes to a practice track they had been invited to ride, only to find a padlocked gate and a landlord who turned them away. Another year, two KX500 motors seized during pre-race practice sessions because of what was later determined to be incorrect fuel from a trusted source. It put the team in a serious bind, and they had to source a third motor from a factory in England. Ward endured minor inconveniences, like riding bikes he had no experience on, and traveling to Europe while still in the middle of his own championship battles, and decoding the yearly format changes that seemed to be aimed precisely at eliminating, or reducing, Team USA's advantages. A green rider on a green machine. Ward's resume as Captain America started in September 1983, when he went to Belgium for his first ever Motocross of Nations. It was his first time racing internationally, and he had almost zero experience on a 500 two-stroke. In fact, he was still trying to win a 125 motocross title. He figured out how to adapt, and with 2-4 moto scores, proved himself a vital link to Team USA winning for a third year in a row. This trip also included a voyage behind the Iron Curtain into Czechoslovakia, where agents holding machine guns rifled through his gear bag. A year later in Finland, Ward crashed so hard in Saturday's warm-up, he wouldn't have passed modern concussion protocols. He broke his helmet and didn't even know where he was. I remember track workers asking if I was okay to ride back, Ward recalled. But then I couldn't find my pit, so I was riding around and the team kind of found me and then brought me over. He spent the night in Rick Johnson's hotel room as a precaution and continued to throw up and fight headaches all through race day. I wasn't even with it, Ward said. Roger DeCosta and the team were pretty concerned, but I'm like, F it, I'm going to ride no matter what. Miraculously, he led most of the first moto and finished second. A first turn pile up in the second moto left he and David Bailey scrambling for every point. Ward's fuel tank breather hose popped off in the crash and gasoline got into his goggles. He never got inside the top 20, and he wanted to pull in, but he could see the urgency on the sidelines as the USA support team waved him on, encouraging him to keep charging. When Andre Vroman's forks collapsed, Team USA edged out the Belgians by simply staying on the track. A week later in Sweden, at the last ever edition of the Trophée des Nations, Ward had what he called the greatest race of his life. He was so fast in practice that team manager Roger De Coster asked him where he was cutting the track. He went 1-1 in the two-moto format, despite his front tire falling apart at the end of the second race. Motocross des Abominations. In 1985, the International Motorcycle Federation completely overhauled the World Team Championships format, condensing three events into one, a one-weekend extravaganza we now call the Motocross of Nations. A 125cc event called Coupe de Nations, which first ran in 1980, was combined with the motocross and trophy races. This was not well received by the media. The very bold headline in Motocross Action's coverage called it Motocross des Abominations. Esteemed European journalist Jack Bernicle had warned of this format change a year earlier when he eviscerated the decision in a commentary. It is another sad case of a simple, straightforward challenge being deemed inadequate for the avaricious techno-flash 80s. Once upon a time, these were prestigious, hotly contested events which put a cap on the world championship season. Nowadays, host countries are hard to find, organizers don't want to get involved, and riders find little motivation to compete. National fervor has faded from motocross. That paragraph was written in 1984. So in 1985, each participating country sent three riders, instead of four, to Gaeldorf, West Germany, one for each motorcycle displacement. And they competed in three motos all at the same time. With over 60 riders racing at once, it was a crowded start. None of the Americans won a moto overall, but Ward was top 250 rider each time out. As he handed out the bottles of champagne on the podium, the German announcer yelled, "Even a change in the format could not keep the Americans from winning." Captain America's final stretch. In 1988, Ward voluntarily threw himself into an unfamiliar situation by riding a KX125 in France. He still had regrets about turning down an offer to ride for the 1986 team on a 125. In front of an extremely partisan crowd of 40,000, Ward went up against the new 125 world champion, Jean-Michel Bayle, and beat him, finishing 2-1 in the 125 class and 6th and 8th overall on a very fast course. In 1989, Ward was back in Gaeldorf, along with first-time Team USA members Jeff Stanton and Mike Kudrowski. They still had four rounds remaining in the AMA Pro Motocross Championship season. Ward and Stanton battled for the 500 title when they lined up as teammates in Europe. Ward won the first moto, the one and only time he ever won a moto on a 500 in the event. In the second moto, he fell twice, hitting his head in one of the crashes. He knew Team USA already had the win, so he cruised to a 15th. Team USA's first four scores were so low, they didn't even need to ride the third and final moto. Ward's final Motocross of Nations appearance came in 1990 in Vimmerby, Sweden. It was an every point needed situation because 125 rider Damon Bradshaw had crashed out. In the event's final moto, Ward lost the oil in his shock on lap three. "It was just a pogo stick, and I hung on for dear life," he said. Unfortunately, that was Ward's last ever moto at the Motocross of Nations. Only the top four scores counted, so he stayed on the track and literally bounced around to his 17th place. Stanton's aggressive late race passes earned Team USA the win by a single point. In the 19 motos Ward raced in his 9 Team USA appearances, he finished top 5 overall 13 times, and top 10 in 16 of those starts. This, despite riding each displacement at least once, and in formats that changed seemingly every year, and on tracks he had never ridden. Every one of those races was stressful, Ward said, after reliving them all while sitting at his kitchen table in Newport Beach, California. We had to learn the track they had raced so many times, to beat those guys. It's not easy. There were years I thought I was hauling ass in practice, and I was like 14th fastest, and every guy in front of me I had never heard of in my life. It was probably the most stressful event out of all the AMA Nationals I raced, because you didn't want to be that guy. That guy. That guy that cost them the Peter Chamberlain Trophy, that is. I could fall down and get a fourth at an AMA National Moto, and get second overall, and I'm fine with that. But if I fall down during the Motocross des Nations, and we lose the championship, he trails off, not wanting to even think about what the riders who came after him must have gone through. The ones that didn't win. Ward's time on Team USA fell in the middle of America's now legendary unbeaten era. Between 1981 and 1993, Team USA won 17 straight motocross and trophy des nations races. And then the middle of that was Unadilla in 1987, the first time the event visited America. 1987 is the one that scared him the most. When he pulled the cover off the artwork designed and printed in his honor, Ward launched into a story about riding KX500s. Way too much power, he said as he signed his name in silver Sharpie.
The stock bike, you couldn't even ride that bike. It was horrible.
Because it was too much power?
Way too much power. And the, yeah, way too much power. Hit way too hard, and then just the ratio of the gear.
This is Jeff Ward, who integrated Olympic weightlifting into his training program and could squat 450 pounds. Announcer Larry Huffman liked to say he was built like a piano. So he is human after all. The childhood version of this rider is crushed. Ward started riding the 500 class in AMA competition in 1985, so he had 3 years of development and testing time with Kawasaki by the time he went to New York for the 1987 Motocross of Nations. To make the bike's power more manageable, they used a heavier crank and flywheel. Ward said that enabled him to roll on the throttle without the bike pulling his arms out of the shoulder sockets. It would slowly ramp up, and I could run third gear a lot more, he said. This intimate knowledge of how to handle a half-liter two-stroke motorcycle was useful on September 13, 1987, because, in addition to the deep mud and even deeper level of competition, he was blind in one eye and found it painful to even blink with the other eye. I got hit with so much mud in the right eye, I couldn't open it, Ward said. It was hard to blink my left eye because when I blinked it, it moved the right eye. Ward's eye wasn't just covered. Grains of dirt and small pebbles had worked their way underneath his eyelids. That's why all the photos taken during this first moto show him grimacing. A few laps into the moto, Ward battled 500 World Motocross champ George Jobet for third. Because he had no eye protection, he had to keep away from the wake of mud thrown from Jobet's CR500. The search for creative passing lines led Ward into a berm that nearly swallowed his front end. The front wheel just disappeared, he told Cycle News' Kit Palmer. The suction in the mud was so bad. Jobet, a Belgian, went on to win the moto. Dutchman Kees van der Ven was second on his KTM 500. And after getting his bike pulled out of the mud, Ward resolved to just get to the finish. He crossed the line in third. Bob Hanna, riding a Suzuki RM125, finished ninth overall, fourth in the 125 class. Scarily, Team USA was 3 points down on the Dutch and Belgians, who were tied for first overall after Moto 1. Ward headed for the ambulance to get his eyes flushed. That was the painful part, trying to clean it all out, he said. They had these squirter things that go in your eyes. It was just so raw. When Jeff Ward lined up for his final moto, he swapped his full-length face mask with a stubby one that covered only his nose. In the first corner, he yielded to his teammate, Ricky Johnson, who was riding a CR250. He avoided getting slammed in the head again with mud and spent the next 30 minutes plus making sure the math worked out in America's favor. And it did, because it always did when Jeff Ward put the stars and stripes on his helmet. Get to shop.wewentfast.com to check out the Jeff Ward artwork, illustrated by Tim Glasspool. 25% of the revenue goes straight to Team USA through the RaiseItForUSA.com nonprofit. And if you want free stickers, subscribe to our newsletter at wewentfast.com/subscribe. The welcome message you receive will have instructions on getting free decals.